Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 254 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, joined today by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters for the very last time. Not the very last time.
Yeah,
last time.
Like, maybe it's you're going to be back in like 3 weeks or something like that. Let's be real.
Okay.
You can't get rid of us.
Let's let Jim give some context.
I should probably give a little bit of context, only because while there are many of you who are comic book faithful, and we appreciate that for sure, there are plenty of you listening to this having no clue what is going on. As of last 2 Fridays ago, my time with comicbook.com has come to an end. Most senses of the word, right? I had an opportunity to join some of my friends over at Image Comics and return to an industry that I love so dearly. I am now the Butterfree of the show, I guess.
Yes, for everyone who's just listening, Bye Bye Butterfree is playing in the background. It's a very emotional moment.
It is one of those things where opportunities like the one I took, they don't come around very often, and it's one that I had to take. Now, that said, that doesn't mean, hopefully Christian and Megan will have me back every once in a while. This is a show that clearly is near and dear to my heart. I don't want to say I have a favorite podcast of the comic book podcast, but
you can. You can say that now.
It's true. I can actually say that now. This is my favorite of the comic book podcast. What? Screw the rest of them.
Put that and post it everywhere.
Unbound. You are allowed to be as free as you need to be with your podcast favoritism.
No, I mean, look, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago when we were going through 350, right? Just kind of going through some of the I can't believe we made it this long. Look, the fact that, again, that this show is one of the longest running Pokemon podcasts, period. It is also a top three Pokemon podcast, right? Like, you go and search and you do Pokemon podcast, you get it super effective, then you get us, and then it's usually a toss up for number three. Like I said, there's plenty of great Pokemon podcasts out there. We are just so proud to have been a part of so many Pokemon fans' lives over these last couple of years. But me too, right? Like, I didn't realize, look, we were talking about it all the time. We didn't realize we'd have this much Pokemon stuff to talk about. Like, we thought, okay, there's going to be a lot of hype around Detective Pikachu, a lot of hype around Pokemon Go. And then, it was nice. See you later, folks. But no, here we are today, and here they will be for weeks to come, years to come, many episodes to come. And so obviously got a shout out to some of the OGs in the chat, obviously Semantics, without him, the Discord doesn't exist. And, that's become such a core part of the community for sure. Calder, who is almost a fourth host of the show because he is basically the fact checker for the show. And so we always appreciate that. But again, like I said, look, I'm sure I will be back. When? Who knows? Hopefully it'll be a nice surprise. But I can't thank anyone. I can't thank everyone enough for listening to us ramble.
So I just completely realized something. So officially, Jim Viscardi is the Ash Ketchum of this podcast. We don't know when he's going to return. He's off doing his own master journey. And one day we'll bring him back. Maybe he'll have his red wagon with him.
I love it. I love it. But no, look, like that's the kind of thing I love about this. Like, this show has spawned its own recurring memes in a sense, right? And so the fact that even that exists can, like, will blow my mind for forever. So I don't have a rundown, so Christian, this is your show.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, the second half will be all about Jim.
Oh. Great.
We're gonna do a nice, lovely walk down memory lane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it feels a little bit goofy because we literally just had like a look back at 250 episodes. You know,
right.
But you know, back then we were expecting Jim to last a little bit longer than four more weeks.
that expiration date came up real fast.
it just caught us off guard. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the stuff that's happening this week. So obviously, in case you're listening to us for the very first time, what a weird episode!
This is your first episode, truly. Hi, hello, I'm Megan. I'm one of the hosts that's staying.
Yeah, and I'm Christian. I'm the other one of the hosts that's staying. You know, and we're joined with us by some random guy that, you know, doesn't even work here.
It's like the Mean Girls man. He doesn't even go here.
So this is a podcast all about Pokemon. We talk about Pokemon the games, Pokemon the cards, Pokemon the TV show, Pokemon the stuff, Pokemon the concepts, Pokemon the things of the world. Sorry. But yeah, so this week we're going to chat about some big world championship news. Some Pokemon Go stuff, and of course, everyone's favorite thing, Battle Academy, is back again for a third straight year. So I guess we'll start off with the biggest news, which is in our little header image, because we didn't want to post a picture of Jim with a, you know, plastered onto a Butterfree head.
Honestly, also, why did it?
I would not have put that past Peter, though.
Honestly,
so.
I'm kind of disappointed.
If not for the fact that Pete had another podcast,
I'm sure that we would have had.
And it's like 7 a.m. his time, he 100% would have been doing it. But the big news is that the world championships, you know, which we've known were going to be in Hawaii, the dates and the location were officially announced this weekend. So it will be August 16th through 18th, which is a lot later than they were last year.
Oh, wow, that is a lot later.
That's like 3 weeks later than it was the previous year. No, technically it's only a week later. Everyone just flew in the weekend before because it was in Japan. So this one will be a little bit later in the month, and it will be in Honolulu, which I think we kind of already knew, but it's going to be at the Hawaii Convention Center. So the good thing about this is we finally have dates. Yay! the bad news is a lot of people are griping because this was announced
time to book travel.
Yeah, so late. It's only 4 months before. And a lot of people are struggling with travel already, because usually these things get booked basically as soon as the dates get announced, and it, you know, usually it's taken care of months from now, months before now. So a lot of people are kind of upset about that.
I'm sure how booked that convention center must be for being in Honolulu. I think they're just making do with what they could and get it scheduled as soon as possible.
Well, so. I'm just, you know, the thing is so in previous years, you know, the last time they went to Honolulu, if I recall correctly, it was just like a resort. It was like a nice resort, but yeah. like the equivalent to like the Hilton. And so, and now it's at, you know, the largest convention center in Hawaii, which, you know, I guess there's a few of those. I don't know much about the convention scene in Hawaii, so that's kind of like, you know, the thing is, but you know, everyone's kind of shocked that it was so late. So I don't know if they were holding off because of the stuff that happened over in Maui, or if there was some other situation that led to them like pushing it off. But you know, a pretty rare misstep when it comes to live events for Pokemon. Pokemon is usually, you know, they're pretty smooth at this sort of thing, because they've been doing it for a long, long time. And you know, everyone was kind of surprised about this one. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if, you know, I end up going. You know, I plan on it, but
well, see, here's the thing. Now that there's just the two of us with a rotating cast, I think it's time that we pitch an on-site cover.
you know
what? I'm gonna do it. This is me. This is me officially, so we can send it to the Pokemon Company. let's have a live show.
Listen, Super Effective is there.
Comment sections are saying they want it. I'm just saying.
But and we can, you know, we can bring in you know, special guest, my wife. Because when I told her I was like, yeah, so next year, sweetheart, Pokemon World Championships is in Hawaii, and the look that she gave me was just like, and I'm like, and you're coming, of course. You know, and also I think that she would have a lot more fun at Hawaii, because she doesn't need to go, you know. The Yokohama World Championship was a lot of fun, but the issue with it was, one, it was like incredibly muggy, as Japan is in August. Two, because of the nature of the international travel and like all the stuff that kind of surrounded that, they were like very strict on who could and couldn't be at different events. So like if I had like brought my spouse, she would have just been stuck in our very nice hotel for 7 days, which I'm sure she would have, you know, somehow managed, you know, like, oh no, I'm, you know, stuck, you know, living in a, you know, a luxury hotel for 7 days. But she wouldn't have enjoyed herself. I think she'll enjoy herself in Hawaii, and I encourage everyone to enjoy themselves in Hawaii. If you end up going to the World Championships, and assuming that they send me again, be sure to look out for me, and maybe Megan, because we'll make a push for it.
You know what? We'll at least give our best.
Yeah. All I can tell you. If that call goes out, there will be chats.
Everyone in the comments is saying a live podcast has appeared. And honestly, that's it. That's the special we do.
The only problem with doing a live podcast in Hawaii is like it's like a 7-hour time
difference. Figure it out. Who cares?
It's like 5 a.m. over there.
Look, we can figure it out. I have no doubt. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, there's no issue. Come on, I need to get the cute little hula skirt Pikachu plush that you know they're going to bring out with this event.
It's going to be a scuba one.
Oh, it's a scuba one? Seriously? That's kind of...
But correct me if I'm wrong, haven't they been to Hawaii already?
This is the first time they've been in Hawaii in 12 years, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they have been to Hawaii before, but this is like exponentially larger.
Right.
By the way, Hawaii is a 6-hour time difference from where I'm at, a 5-hour time difference from where Megan and Jim are at. So I actually kind of was pretty darn close to that. Like, be proud of me. So they did show off like the key art for it, and the key art, give me a second. It shows Pikachu. He's wearing a snorkeling gear. And like some of the other Pokemon that are featured, include, Squirtle, a Quaxly looking very upset about the fact that they're, underwater, Gimmie Ghoul and, Riolu, that stupid fish Pokemon with like that's got like the weird psychic head thing that's based off of the actual like fish of Hawaii, like the national fish of Hawaii. Azumarill and Pukumuku. And those creepy ghost jellyfish. Which I can't remember their names. I need to start remembering this stuff. Jellicent and Frillish.
The thing, Vaporeon was not listed, so immediately no I'm concerned.
Yeah.
How Jellicent. Are they supposed to do this?
So that's the World Championship news. And other stuff, we have the bug out event is this weekend. I think we forgot to talk about the last Pokemon Go event, but you know, I don't think too many people will tune in to listen to us talk about Pokemon Go stuff.
Okay, but you say that, and then we inevitably end up getting a bunch of reviews being like, you guys should cover Pokemon Go a little bit more.
We no longer talk about this.
Well, you know, maybe that'll change. Well, so here's a funny thing. I was talking to Mark not too long ago, because, you know, we're going to be rotating in third hosts for at least a hot minute until things get settled down. We just feel that Jim is irreplaceable, so we're just going to throw a bunch of random bodies in that spot.
I understand.
But so I was talking to Mark and he's not been playing Pokemon. He has not been playing Pokemon Go nearly as much, and like the content is kind of like petered out. So there's that. So the bug out event will feature bugs. The big thing is Mega Heracross is coming into the game, and that all starts April 12th. So if you're playing it, you want Mega Heracross, go ahead and get it. That will be in the game. Let's see here. They have begun to tease the April Community Day for Pokemon Go. That just came out like today. And it's going to be Bellsprout.
Oh
man, they really know how to drive some excitement, don't they?
Yeah, Bellsprout. So I'm assuming that Bellsprout is super viable and like
in the meta,
but I can't tell you. But that is a thing. So get ready for it. Okay. So that covers that news. And more exciting news, Battle Academy is coming back. So if you have listened to us before,
like when you say coming back, are they retooling it or is it
they are releasing a Battle Academy 2024, which is also, remember the last Battle Academy was focused on Pokemon V, and now they're going to be focusing on the new Pokemon EX cards.
Oh.
So it will have,
I guess I didn't realize that was the case with the previous one.
Yeah, so they've had to like republish the Battle Academy several times because the decks are all built around whatever the big card is. So this one will have, let me pull up the information. We'll have three decks. There's Pikachu, obviously, Armor Rouge, which, you know, kind of you see that on the, and then Darkrai. I didn't even need to pull that up. I could have just looked at the box. So each of those will have the EX cards, and the interesting thing is there are several cards that will be exclusive to this set. In fact, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was getting ready for you to say there's also secret illustration rares.
That would be pretty cool. So there are 12 promo cards that can only be found in this. Where they revealed those promo cards, they suddenly just like mysteriously popped up on Pokemon.com on like their list of like legal cards. And people were like, what the heck are these? Where are they coming from? There's no promos. These are a very random set of promos. And now we know, oh, it's from here. You'll note that the Darkrai EX is like the armor. All the EX cards are, they're powerful, I'm sure, but they don't have as many, like, you know, they don't have the effects and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just basic moves, it looks like.
Yeah, they're just basic moves.
Put card but, down, do damage.
Yep. So, but if you are looking for a way to learn how to play the Pokemon trading card game, Battle Academy is still the way to do it.
We talk about it every holiday season. It is the best resource for literally anyone, but especially for kids wanting to basically make the jump from collecting and trading with their friends to actually learning how to play the game.
Yeah, no, it's really solid. So there's the Battle Academy, and actually that is
when does that come out?
That comes out. I did not say when it comes out. June 21st is when it will come out. So, Superboy 2K6 says, I wish there was one of those for the One Piece card game. That would be,
honestly,
yeah,
at this point, like I've tried to catch up with it, and man, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like I feel like I'm like a kid again trying to learn how to play Pokemon. Because dude, the One Piece card game is huge now.
Yeah, but it's gotten really big really quickly. And some of it is some of it is that, you know, the collector mentality is just crazy with that game. It's just like they're on a totally different level. But as One Piece has grown in popularity with the live action stuff, and they also do a really good job of mixing mixing in different types of like rarities and things like that, because they put out like a few cards like with every set, obviously, but not like a ton. It's all about like the different kinds of rarities, because they'll release like 6 or 7 different like variants of the same card, which is pretty cool.
You know it's good when the creator of One Piece is obsessed with the game.
Yeah.
Like yeah. The creator of One Piece, like famously at this point, his editor posts things on Twitter constantly, or X, whatever. That age old debate. And he's constantly like, I had to take away Oda Sensei's cards because he wouldn't stop playing like games. And Ichiro Oda also plays in test decks against Makinyu, who plays Zoro in the live action One Piece series. So like, you know, it's good when it's together. And yes, that is us in the comments saying the Gomu Gomu no podcast is coming soon. And that's correct.
We can't be stopped now.
No, but we do have an anime podcast, Plugging Anime Initiative for Comic Book Nation. That's where we talk about all the lovely anime stuff that's not Pokemon, but sometimes also Pokemon. So, you know, if you want double dose of Pokemon, that's where to go.
Yes, the Anime Initiative. Okay. Yeah, we can do the
Zelda podcast has appeared.
Jim can't say no. He's not our boss anymore.
Nope.
There's no power over us.
We'll start getting anonymous complaints. We know.
I don't know where all those 1-star reviews came from. Certainly not me.
there's certainly not enough discussion of Geodude on here.
Just gonna have to start making burner accounts.
Hey, look, as soon as we see like _geodude_lover_777xx, I'll know it's you.
Well, this is a good time to go to break, so that's what we're gonna do. We will be back to officially say goodbye to Jim as soon as we come back from our commercial break.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. and it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So welcome back. This will be one of the weirder in segments, segments that we've done. As you can see, we were able to jam a Butterfree. Thank goodness. It would be kind of sad if we weren't able to pull that off. Jim, it's been 254 episodes.
Yep.
What were some of your favorite moments from the last 5-ish years of the podcast?
I mean, we'll always remember Gibraltar.
Never forget. Never forget Gibraltar. That's really the only reason I remember how to pronounce that word is because of Christian.
Christian is just so good.
All right, well, pull him off. Pull them off, we're done. The hell with this.
It's kind of crazy for me to pinpoint even like just fun moments, only because I think for me, this was always the perfect way for me to start a week. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Less, you know, yes, it was about a topic we liked. Yes, it was for work. And yes, it was doing, you know, all of that stuff. But I think just being able to do this with you two for as long as we have, you know, together as the three of us has just been an absolute delight. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the fact that the show has its own memes to, you know, my red wagon and Megan's inability to find Squishmallow, Gengar Squishmallow. And
Jim has left this podcast before I got Gengar.
No, that's literally how problematic lost a cast member.
I think, you know, like even just down to introducing the Pokemon fact of the week, like, you know, was such a all of those things. And like, you know, the Pokemon After Dark.
That's when we bring you back, right? That's the episode right. we invite you for.
You know, like I said, all of that stuff just. Not knowing what we were necessarily going to get week in and week out. Like there were some times where, you know, I think some of the best episodes that we've had was when there's only been like 2 or 3 news items and we just had to riff and we've had some of our best episodes.
That is, you know, I think like the magic of this like very hyper-focused show, like, you know, yeah. not to compare ourselves to all the other very excellent podcasts that Comic Book runs, right. You know, which all have their strengths and things like that. But I think the ability to stay hyper-fixated and hyper-focused yep. on one thing has really... But what's the only what's the saying, like limitations, like restrictions foster creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of have experienced that here at the podcast because we do not get to rely on like, well, we're just going to talk about the news of the week. No, we get to talk about one thing and what happened in that one thing this week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the nice thing is that I feel like the Pokemon franchise has grown a lot since we started.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
But I think that in a weird way, I think that, you know, all of our personalities have gotten to shine a little bit more because we only talk about Pokemon. Yeah. And I think, you know, we're, you know, not, and again, this is not a knock on the other podcasts that are out there.
I have told this to a bunch of people, just like, you know, even at comic book, I said, like, I think the kind of magic that we have really does make our show very, like, different than all the rest. The others at times can feel a little bit more regimented and things like that, but like for us, it's, you know, if we go through, it's the only podcast with a Geodude fan. Jeez.
Not for long. Not much longer. Enjoy this episode while you have it.
Same dumb things. Right? But like, there'll be some weeks where we only have like two or three news items, and then like we have to make up a long form discussion. Like the fact that we like spent, like, look, one of the things, just even recently, the fact that we spent a good 20, 25 minutes on illegal Pokemon games and and have it be one of my favorite kind of discussions about that stuff, it was phenomenal. And I think that, like I said, I think that goes to the versatility of the franchise. But also, I mean, look, truly, I don't think you're gonna find, I mean, in podcasts in general, like, three people with such unique perspectives on, and with such on a particular franchise, right? Like, Megan brings a ton of strength to bear to the show. Not only, you know, like, with, you know, I mean, obviously she's got the anime coverage and stuff unlocked, but she represents such a specific part of the Pokemon fandom that clearly Christian, you and I don't, right? No. And like, you know, and Christian, like, the only thing, you know, really that, like, you and I kind of share in the sense that, like, we both have kids that like Pokemon, but you, but like, the way you interact with your kids with Pokemon and the way I interact with mine is pretty different. I think also too, right? Like, that's what I've always come to love and appreciate. And that's why I think, right? Like, we have the loyal fan base that we have. Like, look, we're not getting, you know, phase zero live view numbers, but it doesn't matter, because I think inevitably we probably have one of the more engaged audiences than anything else. I've said this time and time again, the biggest compliment I think we can get on the show is someone picking up this show for the first or second time and then deciding, I'm going to go all the way back and listen. Mm-hmm. Is wild. And I love that.
I think that with this, you know, with this podcast, kind of like, you know, looking back at, you know, because, you know, this, you know, frankly, is the end of an era. You know, I think, you know, honestly, one of the reasons why this podcast was able to find its legs relatively quickly, I mean, I think by episode 5 or 6, we were basically, we had stuff figured out to the point, like, okay, this is what we are going to do. But, you know, I think a large part of that is the fact that, you know, you are, you know, prior to you doing comic book, you were a super experienced podcast host.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, I think we kind of leaned on you a lot, especially in the early days, to kind of get us through, you know, because Megan and I neither of us had a ton of on screen, you know, before this, like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Megan, maybe you are secretly like a Megan
podcaster. Have you discovered my secret alter ego as a VTuber?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I'm just like,
absolutely quite, like, not.
Actually, I have 2 billion subscribers
secretly. I am not secretly Hatsune Miku.
But, you know, I always kind of, you know, so I knew really quickly that we were going to need Jim, you know, to kind of carry us, because Megan and I, literally, when we started this podcast, we were kind of learning on the job. We were not hired to be hosts. We were not hired to be on screen talent. But here we are. And I think, you know, both Megan and I have grown a ton. I mean, I know.
Oh, I mean, look, like that's the other thing too, right? Like looking ahead, like, yeah, am I sad to go? Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to miss every Monday hanging out with the two very good friends of mine. But at the same time, like, the future of this show couldn't be in better hands. And I think, like, it's just, it's one of those things where I'm now interested in seeing, you know, like, look, we've had other hosts on the show before, whether it was Nick, or Mark, Brandon's come on once or twice, right? Like, just to see how, well, look, I mean, we had Rollin on the show, at one point, right? Like a million years ago. To see you guys get to kind of jam in that sense, you know, with others, and then see like what the show can become after that. Like, I'm super excited to see, and I know you guys are going to crush it. And so, you know, if part of me was just like, oh no, what are they going to do if I leave the show? Like, I didn't really think about that at all. Like, I knew it was going to be in great shape. So
now, see, this was your mistake, because now Christian and I have full
given you too much
authority to dedicate the "This Is Why Geodude Sucks" hour.
Yeah,
we have full authority.
We will be changing the name of the podcast to a wild "Here's Why Geodude Sucks."
as a beer. It's going to be the like the Geodude fact of the week.
And, you know, the thing that I've loved about this podcast so much is it's, you know, it's really solidified my friendships with the both of you. Like, I obviously I got along with both of you guys before. I mean, Jim Lurley hired me. Jim Lurley hired Megan.
Hey, same.
but, you know, like, man, there's just something to be said about getting to do something every single week, because we have not missed very many weeks.
We really haven't.
Save for a holiday here or there,
and literally major ones like Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. Like, excuse me for eating my milk and cookies. Like, yeah, Christmas. Right.
Like, other than Christmas and New Year's Day, we don't miss anything. Like Columbus Day, we're still on. Flag Day, we're still here.
I mean, look, we're here on the day of the eclipse. Honestly, for those who celebrate, we are here on Eclipse Day, bringing you.
It's true, though. The middle of the country is about to fall into a pit, apparently.
I mean, truly. I mean, I've got, like, what? It's supposed to be in Nashville around, it's like the peak is at, like, 2 o'clock central. Yeah. So, like, I've only got a couple hours left, guys. Spending it with you.
Got my glasses, though.
I don't. I'm going to have to make something.
Like, it's going to do that whole plate experiment thing that they
honestly
teach the, like,
at this point,
graders.
My husband does work for like an optometrist. So, like,
come back next week where you will get to experience a wild Megan podcast has appeared now with one visually impaired host.
We're not sure if a wild podcast has appeared. It's we can't see it.
I'm really relying on the theme music to know if we're live. That's really how I judge. I mean, if you can't tell by the size of my glasses, if you're watching live, I already can't see without them. So, you know, see what happens. A wild podcast has disappeared. There we go. That's it. Semantics. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So one of my favorite Pokemon anecdotes, anecdotes that I've always, like, kind of kept to myself is right after we named the podcast, Roland shoots me, like, this is like episode like 4 or 5, after we've done all the branding and stuff for it, and he goes, "Hey, there'd be a wild podcast appeared. Why do you have a has in there?"
Yep.
And I'm just like, "Yeah, you know what? Yep. It just, yeah, yeah,
yep.
It's there. It's how we differentiate. It's our special little flavor."
You know, I said, you know, I think, and I made some joke. I was like, "Oh, it's fair use. It's fair use."
This is to help get us around certain legal loopholes here.
In case the Pokemon Company ever says a wild Pokemon appears, or a wild Pokemon appeared, and like copyrighted that or trademarked it, we could still keep doing this.
That's right.
We're gonna make a sudden shift.
So, Jim, you know, I'm trying to think what are some other good questions
My question that I need to know from Jim, because I'm not going to get his daily expertise now, is give me every, what is your 10-year plan for Pokemon? What do you need to see happen?
Yeah.
I need to know your long game, because you're not going to be here all the time to share it. So I need to be able to keep track of what does and does not happen for you.
Pokemon Duel.
Of course. Number one.
Of course. Number one. No, I mean, look, I think it's going to be really interesting. There hasn't really been a real technological leap for the franchise in a long time. Pokemon Go is probably the closest thing we've gotten to something like that. And it's something that I think, you know, like as just technology continues to get better and faster, so much faster now, that's bound to be around the corner. What it looks like, I have no idea. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, this whole headset thing really takes off, if it does. You know, I think everyone kind of looks at a lot of that stuff, like the Apple Vision, whatever, and the Meta Quest, and everyone's like, those are like funny joke things. They're never, it's there. But like, they've been around and they just keep getting better and better. You used to not be able to wear a VR headset unless you had like 30 cables connected to your computer, and your computer basically needed to be able to like launch rocket ships, right? And now you don't need, the only wire you really need is to just keep it charged for these virtual headsets. The fidelity on them gets better and better. And so I have to imagine at some point, whether it's Niantic or Pokemon or the Pokemon company, There's got to be something Pokemon branded for that space, the metaverse or whatever the hell you want to call it. But like, you could easily do something like Pokemon Go, you know, like that, where instead of using the AR view on your phone to like, you know, see a Pokemon in your grass or, you know, on your toilet seat, you could do it via headset and things like that, and use the motion controls to throw a ball, right? Like, yeah, that, like that to me, like, is the adoption going to be like massive on that? Like, I mean, I don't know, but I think if Pokemon inevitably does something for that kind of platform, it definitely legitimizes it. And you're definitely going to see probably a lot of people try and go pick up these headsets to give it a shot. That's for sure. And so that'll be interesting. And then, right, obviously it's how fast does Nintendo want to push the technological progress on platforms like the Switch, right? Like, for all intents and purposes, the Switch has always been the casual gamer console, or like Nintendo has been the casual gamer console. But now when you have devices like the Steam Deck and the PlayStation Portal and whatever, all now bringing high res graphics to a handheld, mm-hmm. like at what point does Nintendo say, all right, like we'll beef it up? And then if that inevitably happens, what does that mean for how these games look?
March 2025 is when that's going to happen, when the Switch 2 comes out,
right? But what will the Switch 2 be? Right.
That, you know, it kind of sucks that you're leaving before the Switch 2 even gets announced. Maybe when that happens, we'll have you come back on to talk about that.
Yeah, because we still have, I mean, obviously we know that we have the new Legends title that's coming out, and we know that, you know, thankfully the Pokemon company is going to be trying to give its next full gen a little bit of breathing space, you know, in anticipation for this, for the Switch 2. But I mean, we are still on that road to what a brand new generation is going to look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Which, you know, please be better than Scarlet and Violet.
Right. But I mean, like, that's like those are all things I'm looking forward to as a Pokemon fan. Like, it's, look, these games have some like yes, these are games quote unquote made for children, but they are games that also deliver some of the best storytelling, you know, in a game period. Like, yes, they may be goofy, but like you accept that. You just enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. And then, but like, again, right? Like, I think just look at the last couple of years and how much branching out the Pokemon Company is willing to do with other developers and things like that to really kind of, you know, expand their footprint. And so now I'm not saying we're going to get Pokemon on Unreal Engine 2 or whatever, but I don't know, maybe, right? Like, before, that would have seemed completely out of the realm of possibility. And while it still does, it's definitely a lot closer than it would have, than it was just even a couple of years ago.
Now, I have a question for you, Jim. Uh-huh. Now that you're no longer hosting a weekly Pokemon podcast,
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Well, there's that. Are you going to stay like as like attuned to Pokemon as you were?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, like that's like that, like that's Pokemon is will forever be a huge part of my life. I think it'll be interesting because I will, not that I don't already, but I will probably appreciate it, seeing it more through the lens of my kid than myself, unless we get Pokemon Duel back. And then you won't hear me shut up about it until they cancel it again, inevitably. But it'll be interesting. But like I said, like it'll be interesting for me not to see and hear Pokemon news and think about like, how do I make this news? Right. Or like things happening in the world of Pokemon and be like, well, I gotta make content about this. Right. Or like, or things like that. Right. Like I can just
enjoy it.
I mean, not that I didn't enjoy it. I'm just going to be enjoying it differently.
I mean, there is something to be said, and I think all three of us can definitely attest to this. When you do something that you enjoy just personally as part of your job, you do start to view things in a different way. I mean, it's been like a decade, but I remember when I was first starting to go see just regular movies in the theater after working in comic book for like a week. Like I was already in within a week, it was ingrained. I was already pulling out spins, trying to just watch like Pitch Perfect 2 or something.
Yeah. And I am excited to be able to just watch movies again. That's for sure.
Yeah. It immediately starts to kind of twist the way that you approach things. Not that you still can't enjoy it. I mean, anime is my profession and I am still giggled like an idiot watching Free Aaron, you know, recently. But like, it's different, and that is definitely true for Pokemon. You look at the games differently.
Yeah,
you just analyze it differently. You can't help it, you know. And that's different whether you're, you know, a casual fan or if you're a hardcore fan. You know, when it's your job, you just inherently kind of have a different worldview when you approach that content. So I'll be interested to see what Jim is tweeting up when all these things start going live, because you'll have that chance, you'll have that experience.
Yeah. I think the best way to kind of end the segment is, you know, this isn't really goodbye, but this is a good chance to say thank you. You have done a lot for myself, and I know that you've done a lot for Megan, far longer than the past, you know, 5 years, 9 years for both of us, I think, because we both got, we both joined in 2015, at a comic book, and, you've been a really big part of our lives. At least for me, I'm talking for Megan for some reason.
I'll just like be like a little puppeteer. I'll just like,
yeah, with you. but I've been kind of like putting this off because I figured it would make for good podcast content. you've really changed my life in a lot of ways for the better. A lot of what I consider to be like core traits about myself were due to you pushing me in that direction. And I don't think that can really be understated how important that is to not only myself, but my friends and my family as well. You know, it is really hard to be a good boss and a good person and a good friend and all of that. But you have done that in so many ways. Like we, you know, we know you're going to go and kick ass at Image, but, you know, I just think it is good to say thank you. Because, you know, you don't often get the chance to actually explicitly say that to people. So thank you, Jim.
Of course, man. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, to echo that, thank you. I will always remember, you know, Comic Book has gone through various levels of leadership, but Jim has been a constant for, you know, the decade that I've been there. And I know I've said this in a video to him, you know, the first when I applied to work there, I was so scared. I couldn't get into the office to like do my interview. A previous leader at Comic Book welcomed me in. We went to the office and I was stuttering because I was so freaking nervous. And I brought up just Power Rangers and we just struck up a conversation about Rita Repulsa. And I was like, oh, wait, this is actually really cool. I can totally do this job. But probably my favorite thing is, you know, I remember, you know, like 5 years into the job talking to, you know, my mom, who's, you know, in a really high stress tech job. She's a computer engineer. You know, she's been through a gambit of leadership and bosses. And when I would talk with her about, you know, Jim's style of leadership, she would always say, be grateful that you have him as your mentor in this career, because he's one of the best I've heard. And that has been absolutely true. Every person at Comic Book has been touched by it. All the people who listen to the show have witnessed it. I feel like the whole time we've been talking about this episode, it's been like a weird, like funeral dirge.
Yeah.
He's still alive. He's well. He's gonna kick butt in the comic sphere. You know,
he'll be back in like 3 weeks.
Doing what he loves, just like Ash Ketchum. You know, I don't know who Pikachu is to you, Jim, but you, your Pikachu, are going off to do really great things, and you'll be back. But it cannot be understated the amount of good that you have done for this industry, for this fandom, and, you know, personally for Christian and I. So my best way to honor you in this final episode is that Christian and I have to say one nice thing about Geodude. That's what we have to do, Christian. Okay. We have to do it.
Right.
We can't let him go without doing it.
So I really appreciate Geodude's arm definition. They are
he never skips arm day.
You know. Well, you literally can't, because that's how he uses them to crawl around like a freaking zombie. But I always makes me laugh. Like, one of the things that has always like cracked me up about Geodude is that Geodude has probably the most defined muscle set. Like, we have like literally Pokemon's like, this Pokemon is literally made of muscle. And it's like, you know that if Geodude, you know, was given a torso, he'd look like Finn Balor. literally the designer is probably at one point in time, he was probably like one of those like freakish like heads on a torso. And like, you know, as they were like continuing to draw ab after ab after ab, they're probably like, no, this is too much. Too much. And then they turned into Graveler.
You know, for me with Geodude, I have to say, as much as I've given it crap over the years, I will always appreciate those really early memories that I have with Geodude, because my entrance to Pokemon as a young kid was the anime, and Geodude was always with Brock. And I had the biggest crush on Brock when I was a child. And so immediately I was like, well, if I like Geodude, Brock would like me, you know, not taking into account the fact that I was 5 years old. And also this was a fictional man on my television. I will always appreciate the nostalgia and the kind of comedic loyalty that Geodude had with Brock. You know, that is always kind of a nostalgic memory that I will carry. So while I never really, you know, cared for Geodude in the game, I always, you know, Geodude and his connection to Brock really just kind of brings me back to the roots of my Pokemon history. And for that, Geodude's great.
There we go.
That's it.
And now I'm going to make like Geodude and self-destruct.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, because today's Pokemon Fact of the Week, we went a little bit back. We'll get back to the regular ones here next week. But I decided to go and pull a Poke Fact of the Week about Golem, because there's nothing interesting about Geodude.
Except for his arms. He's got arms.
Except for his just fantastically toned arms that make you, you know, question yourself. If you're into rocks or not, just staring at those things for hours. But Golem, did you know that Golem deliberately blows itself up in order to move from mountain to mountain? When it decides that it just does not want to walk, which we've all been there, it just blows itself up in order to propel itself a mountain over.
What force?
So it's like it's like the Incredible Hulk doing his big Hulk jump.
Yeah. It survives because, you know, so it can shed its outer layer. So when it self-destructs, you know, it's blowing off the mm-hmm. outer shell, and you know, then the new shell like hardens when it's exposed to the air. But apparently, sometimes it's like, you know what, it's time. I need to get over to that next mountain, and then it blows up and flings itself over there.
The thing I never understood about Golem is, where did the fleshy bits come from?
What do you mean fleshy bits? Oh, you mean like the flakes?
Like his face and arms and legs.
Well, that is
a great question.
Right? Because look, the evolution from Geodude to Graveler makes sense, right? Because Graveler is just a bunch of Geodudes all rolled up. But then you get to Golem and it's like, where did that come from?
I've never understood why Graveler has six limbs. It makes no sense.
What do you mean? Graveler is just a bunch of Geodudes.
It goes from two limbs to six limbs to four limbs.
Yeah. I mean.
I mean, honestly, maybe the flesh on Golem isn't really like skin texture. Like we learned like that Mr. Mime is really dodgeball material in the Pokemon movie. Maybe it's like a marble, like it's been so rolled over, it's smooth, like polished. That's gonna be my pitch. That's my pitch.
Also, side hilarious fact about Graveler. Graveler, you know, in Pokemon Red and Blue had the wrong number of limbs. They only showed it with four limbs, and they needed to fix
really?
It.
Wow, that's tragic.
Yellow. Yeah. So Pokemon Yellow is one of like the ones with different if you take a look at,
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, look at that.
It's bright. It doesn't have legs.
That's uncomfortable.
Like not really. It doesn't have like legs in the proper sense.
The second gen sprite for it. It's Golem just like squatting. You can kind of see his feet in the back.
No. It's very specifically red. And if take a look at the red and blue ones.
Red and blue. Yeah.
It's missing it's missing limbs, and so they had to fix it in yellow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that is it's very specifically red and blue only has four limbs. They forgot a set. They thought the little like its stomach hands were its legs and got rid of its actual legs.
That's upsetting. I don't like the visual of that Pokemon moving with its little stomach hands.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Well, now that is it for this episode. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Jim, for sticking with us this last 254 episodes. And I will let you say any final words that you have to end this thing.
I mean, there's nothing more I can say than just thank you, right? Like you know, everything that both of you have said was truly, truly very kind, and you know, everything that the community has said. But I'm a firm believer that none of it happens without all of us. Right. Like it's, I happen to just be lucky enough to be driving the bus, but it doesn't work unless, you know, Megan is a certified anime expert. It doesn't work unless, you know, Christian is a willing to go the extra 395 extra miles to become a Pokemon expert.
Really?
and put in the work, right? Like I was only, you know, I was able to just provide a sense of direction and a place to do it. And in turn, we were able to create something that we all can be very proud of and that our audience, our community can enjoy. And so, so again, right, like I, you know, I can only take very little of the credit because it's, if I don't have the team, it doesn't happen. And so, I've always been very proud. One of my proudest things is that the average tenure of a comicbook.com employee is like 6 years, right? Which is kind of nuts. Yeah. And
especially in the industry.
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure. And so, yeah. And so like that said, Christian, let's go into the business. If you want to support the show, and I need you to support the show, why don't you go and leave a 5-star review and leave your favorite gym memory?
We'll read it, reviews. And Jim will have to listen to the podcast to hear.
And I'm going to have to be stuck listening to the next couple of weeks to make sure and to see if Megan and Christian end up reading those reviews, because if they don't, then I'm going to be sending them to them and being like,
too sappy.
Why are you trying to erase me from the narrative?
Impossible.
So go do that. Look, if not for me, it helps give the show and what Megan and Christian are going to be doing moving forward a boost in the algorithm. Go do it. Join the Discord. Semantics does such incredible hard work to keep that thing up and running. I will continue to be there, chatting away, posting card polls, posting, random things here and there in the show. You can find the link in the episode description. You can find the link in the show description. You can find the link in the pinned post over on X. If you want to continue the conversation past that, you can find me at Jim Viscardi. Megan is at Megan Peters CB. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. Would be remiss not to give a giant thank you on before my way out to producer Peter, Richard. Without them, people watching the show would not see any, would have no clue what we're talking about anytime we talk about anything. And so
they wouldn't have gotten the lovely photoshopped image of Jim.
100%. They are just as integral. They are the true unsung heroes of not only this show, but all the other shows that comicbook.com does. And so, so a big thank you to them. And until next week, folks, may the shiny luck be in your favor. We'll catch you then. Peace. We'll be right back.